and I didn't get a hire. Hello, hello.
Let's see if this works this time. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's 2 minutes after, according to the atomic clock in the back of the church. Lord, please forgive us. The first song we're going to be singing is a song that Nestri introduced us to, and yes, it's in French. In your inserts, or an insert in your bulletin, there is the English translation.
But you don't see it.
But no, we'll just sing this for by ourselves. I love the refrain. Nothing is more beautiful than your name. Nothing is more holy than the blood of forgiveness. I only want to belong to you, Jesus, my King.
Join me in the call to worship, please. Awake, the invitation to carry light comes from the voice who cries out for a smooth way through wild places.
O God, your call is uncomfortable. How can we who are weak remove the rough and rugged places?
Quiet our questioning souls.
Lead us into your presence so all can see your way.
Let it be so. Also, if you, for the candle lighting and singing, If you don't have the song, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, in the back of your hymnal, there's some extras just up here in case you need it.
Once again, Mackenzie will be wonder and I will be wisdom.
Not so many laughs this time.
Not so many laughs this time, that's good. I must have got wiser over the year, over the week. Wonder, what's wrong?
I think I'm lost. I don't think I can get from there, from here.
What? Where's there?
Not here.
Okay, say more.
I thought I heard God say, let's go, it's time to move, we're going places. But I looked all around and I don't see any roads. So, like I said, I don't think I can get from there, from here. There's no way.
Sometimes you have to look beyond the roads to see the way.
Sometimes you don't make any sense.
Where you see a wilderness, God sees a way. Where you see a desert, God sees a highway. Where you see hills and valleys, God sees a smooth, level road.
So, God is in the road construction business?
Let it be so. I'm sorry. I don't know how to... Do you want me to wave my hands?
Welcome. I hope you're all having a nice Sunday, staying warm outside. Are there any guests here who would like to be introduced today? No? Okay, so we'll move on to our children's story. So if any children want to come up.
Thank you. Wow, you can come closer. Thank you. Good morning. Hi, Belle. Okay, last week we talked about my work as a crocheter and that I'm a creator when I do that, and that because I create stuff, I know what's from the inside out, and God knows you from the inside out because he made you, right? Today we're going to talk about some of the work that I do. So I have to first decide what it is that I want to make. Now, I'm not a professional crochet person, so I usually look for a pattern, but I have been following one woman. Her name is Lucy Collin, and Ben actually discovered her. See all these papers in here? These are patterns that she just put on the internet, and you could just make them. And Ben and Paul found them because they like Star Wars, and I think some of you know that I make some Star Wars dolls, right? Now, for the first patterns she made weren't so great. There were mistakes in them. But she got better at it and better at it, and I kept trying her patterns. And now, look what she has. Is that like just papers off the internet, or is it a book? She did her patterns so well that Disney bought them from her, and they made a book. So you can make all kinds of different Star Wars dolls. Do you think she did that like the first try? Or was there a lot of work involved in getting a pattern just right? Okay. Now, God has made us, and he has made a plan for us. And he wants you to know, and I want you to know, that you can't mess up that plan. Because when you're really good at what you do, you can figure things out no matter what. And God is really good at what he does, so he can figure stuff out with your help. As long as you're trying to do the right thing, God can work with that. Okay? Can we remember that? So even though I have a plan when I'm crocheting, I still make mistakes. God has a plan for us, and he's ready to help us when we make mistakes as we ask him for help. Okay? Can we bow for prayer? God, thank you for designing a very careful plan for me. I trust you to make my heart ready for your work. Amen. And now you can go work on your plan for our Christmas concert. Okay?
Now it's time for announcements and sharing. I'll highlight just a few things. One thing is number two, that it's not too late to join choir rehearsals for the fourth Advent service and the Christmas Eve program. That starts at 7 a.m. Oh, sorry, pardon me. 9:30 a.m. and runs every Sunday. And another one that God is at work in our church and is doing many wonderful things, and he counts on us to participate. So there are many roles that need to be filled, such as council chair, vice council, secretary, and such. And you can contact Rob Zacharias or anyone else on the council. And another one is that the NKMC annual general meeting will be taking place Saturday, January 27th, 2018 at 10 a.m., and please remember that your annual report submissions should be sent into the office by December 20th. And also, this week, it says that Kids Club is meeting on Monday, but they're not actually meeting on Monday. Is there anyone else that has anything they'd like to share at this time?
Yes,
is there any other announcements? I don't think so. So, okay, so we'll move on to our next song, Do You Hear What I Hear? If you could please all bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord, we worship you during this Christmas season. You are our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We chose to put you at the center of our family life as we celebrate your birth. Keep us from distractions and help us to invite you into all our family activities. Teach us to pray, and help us to glorify and worship you and our family during this busy time of the year. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you better. Thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us. Open our eyes to realize this each day as we interact with each other. Help us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as you forgave us. Show us creative ways to love and care for those outside our home. Fill us overflowing with your love Teach us to do an act of kindness to those who need it at this time of the year. May our family be a refreshment and light to others. We ask you to teach with salvation those in our family who do not know you. Open their hearts to you, your great love. Help us to share your truth and be your light. You are the Savior of the world. Amen.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Your baby boy would give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels draw? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
For today, I will be reading Isaiah 40, 1 to 11, and Peter 3, oh, sorry, 2 Peter 3, 8 to 15. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of God and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I say, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord, our God, stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Says to the towns of Judea, here is your God. See the sovereign Lord who comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See his renewed is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. When the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with the promise, you are looking forward to in a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with wisdom that God gave him.
Good morning. So I'd like to start off by taking a couple minutes for us to take some time and greet each other, because Advent can often be such a hectic season, everyone busy doing everything. So I'd just like to take a moment for us to shake a few hands, maybe get a few hugs, and also stretch our legs. All right. Now, after that, I'm going to make up for it by adding in another scripture reading that I didn't tell Megan about in advance, so I would read it. This reading is from the Gospel of Mark. It is verses 1 to 8 of chapter 1. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, and make the straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come another more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So here we are, Second Advent. Our scriptures today are ones that we know by tradition are associated with Advent and Christmas, but they don't exactly scream Christmas when you take a moment to think about them. For those of you who don't know, this year we are following the Revised Common Lectionary texts for the season of Advent. And for those of you who've never heard of the Revised Common Lectionary, it's a series of scriptures for every Sunday of the church year, and it's used across many denominations. That's why it's called Common, because it's common to all the different denominations. And it includes an Old Testament reading, a psalm, a gospel, and an epistle. I put in that quick explanation there to let you know that last week there's a gospel reading that wasn't read, opting for the other readings instead. And since I sort of want to build off of that a little bit, I'm also going to read that. It comes from Mark 13. "But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and leaves come out, you know summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch." And that is sort of a prologue. It reminds us of why we observe the season of Advent. What we do is leading up to something. We are working toward making ourselves ready and making this world ready for when Jesus comes again. We need to be prepared for that. We need to be ready for what is to come. Then we move from this apocalypse to a pretty intense guy out in the wilderness dressed in camel hair and a leather belt, eating only locusts and wild honey, calling people to repent, and dunking them in the river. Again, not the most Christmassy passage. John the Baptist echoes the prophet Elijah, who also called people of Israel to repent and to set their focus once again on God. But Advent isn't exactly about Christmas. It's not about the Christmas story. It's about getting us ready for it. It's about the coming of Christ, and it's about Christmas, but it's also about the coming of Christ a second time. We're getting ourselves ready for that, being prepared, and waiting for and being part of all being made well in the world, making paths straight in the wilderness. John's call to repentance and promise of forgiveness is echoed throughout the whole Bible. Today's reading from Isaiah speaks of repenting, in preparation for God. It says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. It also speaks of the comfort that comes from having completed such preparations. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. Repent. Come to God, and you will be comforted. Again, in 2 Peter, we are told, you ought to live holy and godly lives. And if we do, we will be comforted with a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. These verses really sum up what Advent is all about. Prepare yourself and be comforted. At first, living this way might seem restrictive. There's a lot of rules to follow, and we do not always get to do what we want to do, but rather, we should do what is right. But what really comes from that preparation and lining ourselves up with God isn't restriction, but assuredness that gives us confidence in who we are and how we ought to act. When we align ourselves with God, we know who we really are, and we have a sense of solidity and certainty in who we are, and that can be quite comforting. We are sure in ourselves and ready for whatever might come our way. Hard times may come, but we will be ready, knowing who we are and how we should react when hardships come. And this preparation is not only comfort for ourselves, but also comfort for those around us. When we are steadfast in our faith and in our ways of acting, others can look to us for stability in times of turmoil, just as we in turn can look to them when we are also in times of struggle. I'm reminded, when talking about this, as I often am, of some stories from my time working at Manitoba Pioneer Camp. Working at a summer camp can often be very hectic and stressful, and it's a very trying environment, and so good preparation is essential. Both practical preparations, such as getting food and equipment ready, making trip plans, brushing up on first aid, and knowing emergency procedures, but also spiritual preparation, studying the Bible in preparation for Bible studies, prayer and reflection to center ourselves for hard questions that might come from the kids in our care. Being sure in our beliefs allows us to model them to the campers as we spend time together. One story in particular comes to mind when speaking about preparation and the comfort that comes with it. It comes from one of the canoe trips that I led when I was working at that camp. Me and two other staff had a group of between 10 and 11-year-old boys in our group, and we were heading out on a canoe trip. It was supposed to be a fairly relaxed canoe trip. We were just going to take our time, paddle around the lake, see the sights, stop at the gold mine, go cliff jumping, you know. A nice, relaxed trip. The weather, however, had other plans for us. On the first day, the headwinds were so strong that by the time we were less than halfway to our destination, we were so tired we could barely keep going. The wind was pushing so hard that we were barely moving. Luckily, we were well prepared. We knew that there's a crash site close by where we could spend the evening and spend the night. For those who don't know, a crash site is like a campsite that's far from ideal, but there's room to put up some tents and a place to set up a fire. So, the next day, after sleeping on a fairly inclined rock for most of the night, we decided to push on and try to make it to our campsite. But the winds were still fairly high, but we thought, we can do this, we can battle the elements. Shortly after we hit the water, the winds died down. It was great. We would be able to make it there. And that's when we made a very bad decision. We decided we were going to cut across open water instead of hugging the shore. And this is in the biggest part of Shoal Lake, where there's only one little small island right in the middle. So, we start out. We start paddling. We're making good time. We're probably about halfway to this little island in the middle of the lake when we look behind us. Giant black thunderclouds. What we saw as an opportunity was both literally and metaphorically just the calm before the storm. So, didn't have much of an option but to just book it and try to make it to those islands in the middle. So we get there, we pull up onto the island, pull our boats out of the water just as the rain is starting to pelt down and the lightning is starting to crash. But we made it. So we hunker down in the middle of the island, doing our best not to get struck by lightning. And eventually, the lightning went away, and the rain slowed down to a drizzle. But the wind from that storm didn't go away. There were now waves so high that we couldn't be out on the water. There's a small craft warning. It would have just been reckless to go out. So here we were, trapped, on our own. But we were well prepared again. We had enough food to last us for a few days, so that wouldn't be a problem. But this small island was very overgrown. I don't think it's a place where anyone had ever spent a night before. Maybe some fishermen stop on the rocks for a lunch or something, but not a place you want to be. So we get to work. We pulled out our little pocket knives and cut down thorn bushes to make room for our tents. After getting up enough room for two of our three tents, we decided, we can fit 13 people into two four-man tents. And we could. We made it work. In the end, it all worked out. We had our tent set up, and then we realized we had another problem. One of my co-leaders was very hypothermic. He was shivering, he was slurring his speech, he seemed fairly confused, but we were on our own. There was a small craft warning, so unless it was a real emergency, camp couldn't come and pick us up, and also our radio wasn't working. So it turned out it was working one way, they were getting our messages, but we weren't getting anything back, so we were quite on our own. So in the end, we managed to warm him up, we started a fire, got him into some dry sleeping bags, and in the morning he was fine. But we were now stuck on this island for 48 hours. And that gave a lot of time for discussion. And one of the things that came up was a really challenging question. Why does God allow things like this to happen? Why does he allow suffering? Why does he allow people to, like, get sick trapped out on an island somewhere? Why does he let this happen if he loves us? So that's another tough question that also requires a bit of preparation. But luckily, me and my co-leaders had answers for them. I'm not sure if they were the greatest answers, but they worked. And we had our Bibles with us to back us up a bit. So we're prepared for spiritual questions, And all those preparations along the way, the preparations of knowing where there's crash sites we could stay, preparations of having enough food with us, preparations of knowing our first aid, preparations of having answers for Bible questions, all this was a great comfort to everyone on this trip. If we weren't prepared, that would have been the worst canoe trip that anyone had ever been on. But we were well prepared, and in the end, it was probably one of the most memorable canoe trips that anyone on that trip had ever been on, myself included. And for years later, they talked about it fondly. So yes, preparation can be quite the source of comfort. So, in this Advent season, we need to remember not only to prepare our houses for guests, and not only to prepare presents that we're going to give to people, we also need to prepare our hearts to be ready for God to be let in as a guest in us, to prepare our gifts so that we can use our gifts to be a comfort to others. Amen. I don't know why I said amen there.
Like a shepherd so sincere, I rejoice and declare.
on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. Because hope was born this night. Because Christ was born this night.
If you could please all rise, if you can, for the benediction. As you go, may the voice of comfort speak peace and promise to you. May grace spring up from the troubled ground and righteousness shine down from the sky. May the light of Christ dwell within you, and may you see clearly the path the Spirit is blazing for you.
We started with a French song that Nestri gave to us, and you could tell that we had some challenges with the French. Well, now it's Nestri's turn to have a little challenge with the German. And he's doing very well, by the way. I'm going to start over. There's a lot of chord changes in this.
Yeah.